So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Chapter 35. Jason woke up a couple of times to use the bathroom, but he was barely conscious, pulling the IV line out of the port before stumbling to the bathroom and back. When he finally woke up with any sort of coherency, the room was dark and he felt like he hadn't moved in days. A dim alarm clock to his left read sometime after midnight, which meant he'd been sleeping for almost 20 hours. Holy shit, he breathed, grunting at the pull of stiff muscle as he leaned over to fumble at the bedside table. Someone had plugged his cell phone in and left it on the table next to a bottle of water. In the dim moonlight shining through the windows, he could see his red hood, uniform, weapons, and helmet waiting on the other side of the bed. The IV and port were gone, so Jason figured he was sufficiently rehydrated. His mouth didn't feel like cotton, at least. He scrubbed a hand over his face, feeling a little hungover and a lot gross. He needed a shower. The chance to brush his teeth would be nice, too. Maybe he could shower at the manor and take advantage of the clean bathrooms and endless hot water before he ditched. He hadn't even started any sort of bathroom renovation at his loft, and it was in sorry shape. Since he was already here, maybe he should go ahead and take advantage.
Jason.
A voice spoke out of nowhere, and Jason would never admit it, but he jumped about a foot in the air, swore loudly, and rather clumsily snatched up one of his guns before pointing it in the direction of the voice. A standing lamp clicked on to reveal Bruce sitting in an armchair looking exhausted. Jason dropped the gun on the bed, breathing heavily.
What the flying fuck, Bruce? What the hell was that?
He exclaimed furiously.
I didn't mean to startle you.
It was the first time Jason had seen Bruce up close, since he was last in Gotham doing the whole revenge crime lord thing. And he looked like shit. He was pale and his eyes were bloodshot, like he still hadn't slept since before Scarecrow's Arkham breakout.
Then what the hell were you trying to do? He snapped in annoyance.
It was absolutely unfair for Bruce to ambush him like this, when Jason was barely awake and not yet alert enough to go toe-to-toe with him. And where the hell were Tim, Dick, and Alfred? Weren't they supposed to be keeping shit like this from happening?
I just wanted to make sure you're okay,
Bruce said solemnly, and the tortured look of guilt and pity on his face had Jason practically snarling as all the reasons he was furious at Bruce came crashing back down on him.
Yeah, well, I'm fine, so you can just get fucking lost. Or better yet, I will,
Jason growled, shoving the blanket off him and standing up. His legs were unsteady for a moment due to the length of disuse, but he recovered quickly, snatching his phone off the charger.
Get out so I can change.
Jason,
he tried again, standing and moving closer. Jason hated the fact that Bruce still had a couple of inches on him. His shoulders were broader, too, meaning he could loom effectively.
I just wanted to talk.
If Crane's serum was still in his veins, Jason knew he would have snatched up a gun and emptied a clip into Bruce right then and there. As it was, his vision flashed red, and he snapped furiously,
No, you don't get to talk, Bruce. You don't get to fucking do anything.
Jason, I just want to apologize.
The other man pushed, getting agitated and impatient.
For what?
Jason demanded, waving his arms around angrily.
What do you want to apologize for?
I'm sorry, Bruce said, voice thick. I'm sorry I didn't save you. I'm sorry I didn't save you again after you came back to life. You needed me, and I wasn't there.
God, Bruce,
he snapped, gripping his hair briefly in pure frustration.
You're so fucking... You don't even know what you should actually be apologizing for.
Bruce stared, expression completely blank, and he realized he really had no fucking clue. Jason didn't know if he wanted to laugh or scream at him. He settled for a little bit of both. Damn it, Bruce. I don't care that you didn't save me, you asshole. Shit happens. And the second time you didn't even know I was alive. I don't give a damn about that. I care that you didn't do anything about it. That you didn't care enough to make sure the Joker could never do it again.
I did care, he broke in hotly, taking a jerking step forward. Of course I cared, but I can't cross that line, Jason. If I did, I'd never come back.
God, do you ever get tired of saying that? Jason snapped furiously. Bruce looked as frustrated as Jason felt.
I'm not here to fight with you, Jason.
Well, too fucking bad, because I've got a new bone to pick with you, asshole. Jason growled, getting up in Bruce's space. Forget the Joker. Forget replacing me. Who the fuck gave you the right to my memories? Bruce was so startled Jason could actually read it on his face. He pressed on. Did you think even for a second about what I would have wanted? Or did you just fucking help yourself?
It was clear by the expression on his face that Bruce hadn't thought about Jason at all.
Jason was so damn angry he was shaking with it. Fuck you, asshole. You had no right. Superman had no right. None of you did. Those were my memories, my past. You don't get to have it, but you took it anyway.
Jason, Bruce began, but stopped. He stood there stiffly, in the middle of the room with no clue what to say.
Why? Jason demanded. Tell me why you let them do it.
I needed to know why you were here, Bruce said finally, expression guarded once more. I found out that you had been here for months and were working with Tim. I needed to know if you were planning anything, if Tim was safe. I thought it might help me figure out what you were after.
Jason stiffened, taken aback. You thought I was here to try something?
What was I supposed to think? Bruce demanded shortly.
You tried to kill Tim. You tried to kill Dick and Damien.
Yeah, and Dick and Tim. Hell, even Superman would have told you you were fucking wrong, Jason snapped.
Did you listen to them? No, because you don't listen to anyone. Instead, you violate their privacy. My privacy. Well, fuck you.
Jason,
and what the hell is that stupid case doing in the cave? A good soldier? Are you kidding me? I die, and that's all you have to say? A good fucking soldier? I wasn't a soldier. I was your son,
he shouted, voice breaking a little on the last word, and he hated it. Hated it so much.
Jason, Bruce spoke again, this time sounding every bit as broken as him. Jason couldn't stand it. Get out, he growled, not wanting to hear any of Bruce's excuses. There was nothing he could say that would make it better.
Would you just listen to me?
Get out!
For a moment, they just stood there, tensely facing each other down. Then Bruce folded. Jason seethed as the older man moved stiffly towards the door, pausing on his way out.
I'm sorry, he said again quietly.
Then he was gone.
Jason snarled and tore off the sweatpants and t-shirt, dressing in his armor in record time. He snatched up his phone and helmet and was halfway out the window by the time the call even connected.
Corey answered almost immediately.
Jason,
I need you to come get me, he said, voice tight with emotion, as he maneuvered himself the rest of the way out the window and safely to the ground. He immediately started the long trek to the front gates.
I'm at the manor now, but I'm about to hit the highway back into the Gotham. I don't have my bike, so it might take me a while to get a vehicle, but then I can meet you wherever.
It'd be so much easier if Corey could just pilot her ship to the manor, but that was a bad idea on the off chance that anyone noticed an alien ship landing at Bruce Wayne's house. They tended not to use it if they weren't on missions, given how conspicuous it was. Instead, Jason would need to find a car and meet her somewhere. Not ideal, but good enough. At least he would be moving and putting space between him and this house as quickly as possible. Between him and Bruce.
Stay where you are, Jason. Roy and I already have a car and will be at the manor in a few minutes,
Corey replied, voice soothing.
Jason stopped his angry march. Confused.
What?
Red Robin called us hours ago, she replied. I'm sorry it's taken so long, but I thought it best to bring Roy as well.
No, that's fine. That's good, Jason said, blinking in surprise. I'll just... He trailed off, feeling a rush of too many emotions. He was furious at Bruce, relieved that Roy and Corey were minutes away, thankful for Tim, but also a little annoyed because, yet again, he somehow seemed to know everything, predict Jason's needs, and smooth things over like it was no effort at all. Jason sort of felt like he was being handled, and he really didn't like it. Yet, apparently, he needed it. And if anyone was going to be handling him in this screwed-up family, Tim and Alfred were the best options. Still, he didn't like feeling like he was predictable.
Just a few minutes more, Corey promised, no doubt picking up on Jason's mess of emotions.
Yeah, see you in a minute. Jason hung up the phone. He was completely unsurprised when Tim dropped out of a tree.
The little stalker must have been keeping an eye on Jason's window, as well as the long drive from the gates.
Sorry, Tim spoke, frowning. I told him to keep his distance, but he waited till Dick was gone and I was sleeping. I thought something like this might happen, so I called Arsenal and Starfire. I didn't mean to cross any lines, but I figured you'd want to get out of town as quickly as possible, and they'd be easier on you than me or Dick.
Jason clenched a fist tightly but nodded.
You were right. Thanks, he admitted, even though that was a little bit of a struggle.
I'll keep watch of the warehouse. Steph, Cass, and Dick are splitting up my territory, so I'll be free to watch the alley. How long do you need?
More time than I can afford to take, Jason admitted tiredly,
letting some of the hostility drain out of him. Tim didn't deserve it, with how much he was helping him at the moment.
Tim nodded, understanding.
Try a week. If you need more, take another one. You've got a phone at the warehouse, right? Keep in contact with the kids. Make sure they know you haven't left for good, and they'll be fine.
Jason frowned. A lot of these kids had already been abandoned by one or more parents. They were independent now and fending for themselves for the most part, but he didn't want to be another person in their lives that let them down.
It'll be fine, Jason. I'll take care of them, Tim said, easily reading his reluctance. I'll keep you updated. If I think you need to come back early, I'll tell you. You've been solely responsible for over 30 kids for weeks now, Jason. You deserve a break. You need a break. Steph, Cass, Dick, and I will keep you covered.
Jason gave in.
A week.
Tim nodded.
A week.
He turned back towards the gate as Roy and Corey's headlights came into view. It was only a few moments before the dark, nondescript SUV was pulling to a stop on the gravel drive. Corey was out of the car before it even stopped. Roy shortly after.
Jason, Corey said, hovering in the air at his shoulder.
Jaybird, Roy exclaimed, bounding up to his other side.
You okay? Do we need to go in there and kick Batman's ass?
Jason rolled his eyes and shoved Roy for being the idiot he was. He'd be the one kicking your ass, but thanks for the sentiment.
I don't know. I think we can take him.
Roy grinned, draping his arm over Jason's shoulders. Corey wrapped her arms around both of their shoulders, flying easily behind them.
Certainly, if we were doing it together.
Teamwork, exactly, Roy declared. Jason smirked, amused and damn glad to see them. It had been way too long since they were all together.
Maybe later. Right now, I'm starved.
Lucky for you, we stopped for burgers on the way in, Roy said as they moved for the car. Jason took the driver's seat, and Roy seemed happy enough taking the back.
RR said you'd be hungry.
Jason rolled his eyes. Of course he did. Even so, he rolled down the window and gave Tim a parting wave. I'll keep in touch.
Tim nodded, waving him off.
So, Jason said, tearing down the driveway, feeling himself lighten with every foot he put between them and Bruce. He was getting out of Gotham. Even if it was only for a week, it was a huge relief, and the tension he'd been carrying for weeks just fell off of him.
Who wants to go get fucking warm? Even though Corey was always warm, the answer was still unanimous. To the island, Roy happily declared, and Corey smiled brightly. Jason grinned in response. To the island. Bruce watched, undetected, from the safety of a second-story window, as Jason marched down the long drive towards the front gates, only to stop when Tim quite literally dropped out of a tree. He would be lying if he said he wasn't a little nervous for his third son. All of Jason's tortured memories still sat heavily on his mind, but he also had the memories of Jason stabbing Tim, almost killing him. He couldn't just ignore that. But while Jason still carried the tension he'd worn like armor during their brief and unproductive conversation, the hostility seemed to fade away in the face of Tim. Not only that, but the longer the two talked, the more Jason seemed to settle. The tension was still there, but he didn't look like he was going to snap into violence at any moment. Enthralled, Bruce watched, wondered when the two of them had become anything more than enemies. How was it that, out of everyone in the family, and after everything that had happened, Tim had the best relationship with Jason, short of Alfred? And how on earth did he miss it happening? A weight pressed down on his chest as Bruce continued to observe his two sons. Jason was nodding at whatever Tim was saying and then replying, jerking his hand about in emphasis. Tim nodded in return, and they both turned back to look down the drive at the approach of an SUV. It stopped a few yards ahead of them, and Starfire flew out, darting through the air towards Jason. Arsenal jumped out as soon as he managed to stop the car, and hurried over as well. Bruce noticed that, while Jason's two teammates were certainly hovering, neither one made a move to touch him. Not until Jason rolled his eyes and shoved at Arsenal's shoulder. Then, like it was an unspoken signal, Arsenal threw an arm around Jason's shoulder, and Starfire draped herself over the both of them. Bruce watched Jason grumble and posture, but he could see the way he relaxed, the small tilt to his lips. Bruce was a mess of mixed emotions as they shepherded his son to the car. Jason slid easily into the driver's seat, while Starfire took the passenger seat and Arsenal slipped into the back. Jason gave a wave and a last parting word to Tim, and then they were speeding down the long driveway. Tim waited a beat before turning back to the manor, eyes instantly finding Bruce at his spot at the second-story window. He nodded like he already knew Bruce wanted to speak to him. He wasn't surprised. All his children were perceptive, even if they all had giant blind spots when it came to the family. Bruce thought Tim's might be smaller, at least when it wasn't concerning his place in the family. Then it was possible his blind spot was the biggest. It took a few minutes for Tim to enter the room. Bruce didn't move away from the window. "He's leaving," he spoke instead, not quite keeping the pain and frustration out of his voice. "For a week, maybe a little more. He won't be gone long. He can't leave the kids. They still don't feel safe without him around, and he'll do pretty much anything for them." Bruce spoke to the reflection of Tim in the window. "Thank you for all the work you've done to get the orphanage off the ground. That's a lot of responsibility, and you shouldn't have had to handle it alone." "Jason's helped, and I utilized a whole department at WE to get the project moving," Tim said, reflection shrugging as he diverted recognition from himself, as was his habit. Idly, Bruce wondered if Tim had any idea how highly valued he was in the family. The answer was undoubtedly no, due in no small part to that blind spot. Bruce pressed, "Really, Tim, thank you." He caught Tim shifting out of the corner of his eye, projecting slight awkwardness and discomfort. When he changed the subject, Bruce let him. "When things get better between you two, you'll have to come see him with the kids. They've got him wrapped around their fingers. It's pretty funny watching the big bad hood giving 6-year-olds piggyback rides." Bruce smiled at the mental image. It was such a relief to see bits of the young Jason and the wild grown man he was now. Jason had always been a sucker for kids who needed help, or women who needed help, or really anyone who'd been victimized. It was something he'd been able to do better than any of them, identify with the victim, understand them on a deeper level, and empathize with them completely. It was why Felipe Garzanas and his diplomatic immunity had been too hard to swallow for the boy. It was where all the brutality and rage came from when he was facing off against criminals. It was also why, to this day, Jason either couldn't or didn't care to compartmentalize, didn't bother separating Jason Todd from the Red Hood like the rest of them did. It went beyond the fact that Jason Todd was legally dead and therefore didn't need to get bogged down with a civilian identity. Even when he was younger, he'd never bothered to distinguish between what Robin would do and what Jason would do. To him, they were one and the same. It was the complete opposite of Bruce, who swapped out personas like masks, going from Bruce Wayne, the cunning businessman, to Brucey, the vapid socialite, to Batman, the Dark Knight, and countless other aliases at the drop of a hat. Jason just didn't. He rode his feelings, not bothering to temper them or segregate them into neat little boxes. He gave in to them completely and felt them so strongly. Because like the people they saved, Jason was also a victim, had been for his whole life, and he killed so that other victims would be safe, could feel safe, because out of everyone else, Jason understood best just how important it was for the victim to feel safe. In the weeks since he'd been processing Jason's memories, Bruce had come to understand his son so much better. The difference between the Jason that had been raging through Gotham trying to hurt Bruce and the Jason that had stepped in and fought beside Dick and Tim in order to protect children he thought of as his was astounding. Bruce had been concerned when Dick first asked Jason to help them, but he'd allowed it because despite what Dick, Tim, and even Clark had told him, he needed to see for himself that he had changed. That he wouldn't kill whatever criminal he thought deserved it. He'd seen Jason's memories, so he knew what the Lazarus Pit had done to him. He had felt the consuming rage for himself, and he understood how Jason ended up going after the family. Roz and Talia had set him up for it, wound him up and set him loose. Murdering criminals, though, that was all Jason. That was the rage that had always been in the boy. The need to protect he'd felt ever since he was a small child, shielding Catherine Todd from his drunk father. That was the need to stand up and do something that had made Bruce offer him the mantle of Robin in the first place. It was the fiercest parts of Jason set fire by the pit. And even now that the pit had receded and was no longer driving Jason's every action, Bruce knew that the parts of Jason that had allowed him to be a killer weren't gone. He knew there were people his son still believed deserved to die. He knew the Joker was at the top of that list, and just because he wasn't acting on those desires now didn't mean he wouldn't. Bruce understood those desires, whatever Jason thought. He really, truly did. But it was a line Bruce couldn't cross, and one he didn't want Jason to have to cross. He didn't want that burden for Jason, for his son. He understood his feelings on the matter and knew they were unlikely to change anytime soon. But Jason had made a deal with Clark not to kill, and that was good enough for Bruce. Jason was his son, and he needed things to be right between them just as much as he needed to breathe. If there was even the slightest chance he could have his son back, if Jason could refrain from killing, no matter how he felt about it, then Bruce could work with that. He'd take whatever he could get. But it was a moot point if Jason continued to want nothing to do with him, which brought him back to Tim's words. When things get better between you, do you think there's a chance for things to get better between us? Tim's reflection shrugged. You're both stubborn assholes, so it's not like it'll be easy, but yeah, I think there is, if you do it right. And how do I do it right? Bruce asked, finally turning towards Tim. How did you do it? Jason likes you. He trusts you. I can see it. How did you manage it?
I was persistent. I don't think that's going to be what works for you, though.
didn't really work for Dick either. Not until they hashed stuff out, at least, and they're still on pretty shaky ground. Though, I think it's better after last night.
What do I do?
Bruce asked outright. He was the world's greatest detective, and he was the Batman, but he wasn't above admitting when he was completely lost. Not when the stakes were this high. Tim sighed, rubbing a hand through his hair. He looked exhausted, and Bruce was reminded of all the things Tim had been handling while he'd been off-planet saving the galaxy. I think you're gonna have to give him space, but also let him know you're still here. He needs to know there's a place for him, whenever he's ready. I'd say back off, don't force contact, but maybe check in every now and then. But not on the Red Hood. You need to show a little faith on that front. Trust that Jason's controlling himself and will continue to do so. If he thinks you're playing policeman on him, he'll explode on you and set us back a couple of months. Don't be Batman checking in on the Red Hood. Just be Bruce checking in on Jason, your son. Bruce let out a huff, frustrated. Out of all the roles he played and practiced, he played Bruce the father the worst. Tim smirked, and Bruce had no doubt that perception of his was telling him just what Bruce was frustrated about. Don't worry, Bruce. You're not that bad at it. You've got three sons still here, after all.
Heaven knows how, Bruce grumbled darkly. And I lost Dick for a while. It might still happen with Damien. He already prefers Dick, and you've been keeping yourself separate since I came back from being lost in time. Up until this business with Jason, at least.
He spoke, eyeing Tim. He'd been meaning to address this for a while, but his third son was hard to pin down when he wanted to avoid something. Even now, he looked ready to bolt, surprised at the turn the conversation had taken.
What happened, Tim?
Bruce pressed before he could formulate some sort of escape.
Things have been rocky between us over the years, but they weren't bad before I was gone. When I got back, you'd already removed yourself from the family, focusing on building your titans.
Tim frowned and looked away. I knew you weren't dead, but they wouldn't believe me. No one did. And then Dick took Robin, gave it to Damien, even though the kid was still trying to kill me at least once a week. There wasn't really a place for me here, and I needed to track you down, so I left. Then, when you came back, things didn't really change, so I kept focusing on the Titans. Bruce frowned.
When I got back, you'd already built a name for yourself, a life of your own. I was proud of what you'd accomplished. You were more than capable of being out on your own. Did you really want to go back to being Robin?
Tim's mouth twisted unhappily. I wanted to go back to being your partner.
You're still my partner, Tim. All of you are. I need all of you. Damien needs guidance. He can't be out there on his own. He's nowhere close to being ready for that. You've been doing it for years. But don't think that I rely on you any less for it. I rely on you more now.
Tim shifted, uncomfortable with the conversation, and Bruce could sympathize completely. There'd been an uncomfortable level of emotions revealed tonight, and he was worn and ragged from it. It was a bit of a relief when Tim changed the subject. Did Jason tell you why he was mad, besides the plaque? He added pointedly. Dick had already chewed Bruce out thoroughly for that, and he had no desire to repeat the process with Tim.
You mean, other than the fact that I won't kill or condone him killing the Joker?
Bruce asked, sardonic and more than a little defeated. At Tim's nod, he answered.
He was not happy about the memories.
I knew he wouldn't be. Clark and Dick were stupid. They should never have done that. He has every right to be angry. You should apologize.
I did, but I doubt it'll do much good.
Bruce sighed. Still needed to be done, Tim replied, turning back towards the door. Remember what I said about giving him space. He'll come around when he's ready. But be prepared to wait, Bruce. It'll probably be a while.
Bruce sighed, but turned to follow Tim. Take a short patrol tonight. You need more sleep, he instructed.
Tim gave him a look over his shoulder and spoke very seriously.
Sleep is for the weak, Bruce.
And despite Bruce's exhaustion, the heavy aftermath of the emotional roller coaster the last few days had been, Bruce snorted. He had absolutely no idea what he'd done to deserve Tim, but he was damn positive he was going to do his best to be a better father than he'd been so far. For all of his children.